Уважаемые гости форума, сейчас мы начинаем очередную сессию.
Dear guests of the forum, we are starting another session, Territorial Policy of the Great Russian of the Future. Let's welcome our moderator, Artur Ataev, head of the Center of Interreligious Research of Tsargrad Institute, researcher, a fellow of Institute of Culture. Your applause, please.
Умарова Джамбулата, президент.
Джамбулат Умаров, president of Academy of Science of Chechen Republic, Tsargrad Institute.
Корнева Аркадия.
Корнев Аркадий, head of the Department of State and Law Institute of Kutafi, Moscow State Legal University. Александр Дугин, director of Tsargrad Institute.
И Шафига.
And Шафик Психачев, Russian religious and public figure. Executive Director of International Islamic Mission. Please welcome. Dear participants of the forum, let me welcome you once again and start the work of our panel discussion. Why these events are so good in the lobbies, in the sidelines, we can preliminary discuss with speakers a number of relevant problems, and that happens at least several times. And we decided to step a little bit away from the traditional format announced in the program and ask dear speakers a number of questions. It's the second day that we discuss the image of the future Russia. The future of the future Russia, the future Russia is not possible without discussing territories. In building the image of Russian civilization, what's the role of territories, and to what extent can they give a new charge, the new incentive and impetus for the development of general civilization parameters of a new, and probably not new, the Russian civilization? I understand that this question is, it's a high level, but specific at the same time. Probably someone is willing to speak first. Distinguished speakers, please welcome. Author of one of the best school books on the Russian statehood. It's been 2 years as it's taught in the Initiative of Russia on the initiatives of our president. The best student book is under your authorship. Special thanks to you for that. Dear colleagues, thank you very much. Well, the words about the best school book, it's a big advance, and I'd like to tell you the following in this regard. I made sure another time in my thinking, and after the brilliant lecture of Mr. Dugin today, I once again understood that any institutions, political, economic institutions, cultural ones, create two things, territory, the space, and what people do there on this space. For example, democracy was invented by merchants. Whether it's good or bad, we don't know, it's a must. For example, agricultural civilizations created aristocracy, and today we see the fight between aristocracy and democracy. So the territory is maybe one of the most important and significant wealth of Russia. And this wealth is a problem at the same time. As Berdyaev said, that Russians are the people hit by their space, hit by their space. And that's nothing diminishing here or humiliating, because this space is the land given by God to us. And when I turn to Russian classic, we can say the following. Sometimes they say that the great peoples without state can create the biggest state idea. This is a paradox, but this is as is. We shouldn't reinvent the wheel here. Let's turn to our thinkers, Dmitry Mendeleev. He took the map of the Russian Empire and compiled it differently. He didn't split it into governings or regions. He split it by economic regions, and he tied each economic regions to what is on that land. So he managed to build the map of Russia that allowed to use as much as possible the potential of the Russian peoples by using natural resources. And I should say, by the way, neither before nor after Mendeleev, nobody reached so far. And myself as a lawyer can tell you that Dmitry Mendeleev gave the wonderful model of organizing the political power and produced the economic grounding and justification of our future. I think the task of every state, the state without territory is not possible, is to organize the economic life in a way that we have future. But for that, we have to wake up, dear colleagues, and Russian peoples have many nations, and finally, they should have this energy, this will for life. Without this energy, we won't be able to implement any project. And I think that today, we have a brilliant opportunity to express ourselves in the history another time. What is this opportunity? As soon as some dark forces encircle Russia, it found forces to stand up against it. And the initial engine started to work and gave an opportunity to Russia to defeat their enemies. Dear colleagues, the availability of the joint enemy doesn't prevent the development. The vice versa, I would say. Because when we speak why people achieve something, people achieve something very often that they get some resistance and they have to overcome this resistance. Today we have wonderful conditions so we can wake up ourselves and this passionate charge that we have in our wonderful society be materialized in production technologies, in intellect, and not to the latest to that I would say that Russia is badly needs new winning senses of its development, and I think this is the most important. Thanks for your internal civilization engine. I hope it works, and I hope today's forum and yesterday's plenary session contributes to it working. Mr. Dugin, the Russia of the future in its territorial state, is it the Confederation, unity state? What kind of state should it be? What do you think? Thank you. I think Mr. Korniev have a very nice formula. I quoted it many times. He speak about macro state. The macro state definition, I think, passes and fits very well here. What's a macro state? The author will share with us, I hope, if you don't mind. But the main idea here is that such country as Russia, with the need and by its historic tradition, should combine two versatile things, not just one against the other, not the opposite, but in an orbital way. Just look, I call it the orbital logos. If we see how planets move in the 3D system, we can see that they located at different orbits and they do not collapse. But if we place it on the surface, there will be coincidence and there will be a collapse, a disaster, and our thinking is flat, it's linear. And in my opinion, Russia should use thinking as an orbital logos, a macro state. What is this? It's a centralization of main strategic instances in one location up to the highest power on one hand. And that's along the vertical, as the plateau saw this like almost divine Tsar philosopher. And Russia and attitude to Tsar was the same. It was like a holy thing, a holy person, not just one delegate or elected person. That's something elected by God. And this power, on one hand, should concentrate on the highest level, solving the issues of peace and war, strategic movement. And in the bottom, at the level of the territories, they should be as versatile as possible. The maximum versatility. It's very symbolic that we have here distinguished Mufti and wonderful academician, the head of the Chechen Academy of Science, our good friend. This is very important that Russia and the Russian unity, this strategic unity, in no way strives to turn the whole population to some uniform mass. No, the other way around, maximum pluralism. In empires, very often there were czars. Let's remember the Roman Empire. You remember there was a decided to execute the Christ, the procurator, the representative of a reparator, Pontius Pilatus. The Tsar Irod sends Christ where? he sends them on the cross, Synedrion, John, and others, and the Jewish peoples themselves. So this is the four-story model we have, and in some issues, political, legal ones, religious, the power can delegate it from the top, from the Caesar, and down to other instances, without breaking, without destroying the wealth and richness of cultures, traditions, languages that traditionally were present in Russia. And at the same time, some peoples would want to have friends with us, be friends with us, like Mongolia or other, would join, probably Serbia would join Russia. If, well, we don't want to have the opposite, that someone would leave us, it's really painful. But again, this is an open brotherhood where territories become absolutely free zones. Like when Muslims live on our land, we have the common land with centuries, they have their own traditions. That's great, wonderful, excellent. Nobody should try to turn them or impose them something. But at the same time, we should understand that still our state was historically built around the big Russian people's Christian Orthodox Church, and the mutual respect should be there, like of cultures, religions, and this is the basis of our future. Of course, the versatility of ethnicities and their specifics and confessions also, such traditional confessions, of course, should be observed. And that's something contrary to the nationalism, liberalism, and socialism, by the way. Socialism in total negated religion, and liberalism speaks about individualism, and nationalism for sure will result in opposition to all others. I think the statehood, the territorial construction, should be brought away from this fourth political theory, as I call it, beyond liberalism, communism, and nationalism. All three Western political theories, they are not suitable for us. We won't be able to build on them that territorial macro state that Mr. Korniev was speaking about. So please pay attention how this principle is coming true. Who is waging the war now? Russians, Orthodox, Muslims, Chechens, heroes, well, of course, Caucasian peoples, people from Dagestan, Tatars, Muslims also. And, well, this is a uniform, a united force, because it's about war, and here we are all standing together. And to pray, one go to the church, others to mosque. You don't have to make them all speak only Russian. Yes, everybody should speak Russian, but they can use their languages. And this we call Eurasianism. We have no other way. I've been speaking about it for 30 years. We cannot accept Western models, and you should accept the Eurasian paradigm for our development. And only in this case, this combination of macro state, the vertical, strong power, very much respected and really caring for, and the whole almost holy power, holy vertical, and in the bottom we have pluralism and the versatility and the variety, and it should be in a constant movement and for its strengthening. We should observe the proper proportions and balances that should be in the art of imperial building, if you may. And if we develop the core, and when it destroy the war, the core of the peoples, then we will be finished. Everybody will fight against each other and the state will collapse. But if we overdo somewhere with Russian identity, exaggerate it, or turn the process to the maximum, we will arise the opposite reaction. We need to have this talent, this art. There are peoples and nations, and by the way, our peoples is one of them, and Roman is one of them. Greece, Iranians, Chinese, these peoples have the talent to build great empires, great states that unite different nations. And Ottoman Empire, by the way, was very successful in that long project. The caliphates, Arabic caliphates, Arabs once in history showed this ability to build huge empires. And those empires always appear because some of the talented people succeed in that. I think this should be my reply. If we follow this line for the macro state, that Russia shouldn't be split into some national, independent entities. No, that's not possible. No sovereignty can be achieved in that. If we all stand together, we can only protect our sovereignty. That's my reply to your message. Thank you, Mr. Dugin. Thanks. On the Sambayev Street, Chechen Russian dancer, great dancer. There's Academy of Science, the building of the Academy of Science, and we usually consider the view on the future or project the view on the future on the image, and we do it from Moscow. And how they look from Chechnya on the future of Russia. I hope you can hear me. Hello, dear friends, dear Mr. Dugin, dear friends. I think that Chechen peoples, after very well-known catastrophic happenings and events on their land, which was saturated with blood, and it was saturated with blood every 50, 100 years, is a special example, a special model of how the imperial character is built in the spirit of the peoples, which just yesterday could seem rebellious towards this empire, no matter whether the Moscow Tsars or Red Empire that we call the Soviet Union or Russian Federation. We can mask a lot under that. We can smooth down everything, and we can speak about many things. I don't like this word, but tolerant. But anyway, we have to admit today that, again, we live in times, unfortunately, the great fortune. I'm a normal person, and the future of my kids is worrying me strongly, and I really want that in the streets of Grozny City, mentioned by distinguished Arthur, there were academies and other cultural sites. But anyway, we live again in the time of blood. And when Muslims, specifically in the earlier period of their development and their maturity, expanded that empire named Caliphate from the borders of India and China to Europe. We remember the history of Granada. Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad said, foreseeing, envisaging the growing of this empire, he said the following, that the end of Caliphate will start from the moment when those who rose over for jihad would hold by cow's tails, and from that point they will suffer under humiliation, and the plotter fight stopped that Islamic wave towards Europe, and we should say that we have to accept these things calmly, naturally. I'm speaking about that because there was a great Russian Tsar Alexander III said, at least they think he said, that who are the main allies of empires is the army and the fleet. Army and fleet, well, I'd like to combine it in one entity. The main allies of our current empire, if we want to grow and be rich in territories by bringing together Russian land, because they haven't been collected yet. We should understand that the main allies of the multinational and multi-confessional empire are two allies, which are army and ideology.
Army. Our army. Step by step, modestly but confidently, is turning into a very powerful organism which will proclaim itself, if not the biggest, but probably the strongest army in the world. As for the ideology, so the situation is much worse, to be honest. We somehow started to isolate ourselves into ethno-cultural, religious, social, so-called departments. And we built a fence around us of mistrust, the fence of isolation. The other question, and I totally agree with distinguished friend of mine, who is Alexander Dugin, in the part that if we look at these processes in non-linear manner, that would be a more multifaceted picture. We would hope that, as Kipling said, the West and the East will not clash. The West will stay West and the East will stay East. As for our cultures, something different is the subject to be amazed at from different cultures, respect for that. I'm not the proponent of blending Orthodox, Islamic, Jewish events. Orthodox events should be on their own. They have their own postulates, they have their own preachers, they have own, but the God, so we're monotheistic, the God is single. But the other thing is that I'm invited there to the cathedral's palace where I sometimes speak, and someone listens to me. That's why I'm here. I do believe that the Muslims should invite different individuals. With the Metropolitan Kirill, we are with the would great if these students of the Holy University to discuss questions, these questions to the students of our Islamic academies, where would demonstrate the singularity of Abraham traditions. And historically, unlike other countries, where without blood it is impossible to learn interaction between Islamic and other world, particularly in colonial policy conducted by the British Empire to their disgrace. In Russian environment, under Russian circumstances, the relations between the confessions have always been different. The Tsar authorities always regarded quite intolerant way. There were mosques built starting 19th century, and that was a kind of a gift to the Muslims from the emperor, who demonstrated their bravery and boldness on the battles of the five coalitions against the Napoleon. And one of the witnesses, the people who contributed to this mosque construction, was a Russian Orthodox general, Mr. Chechensky of the Chechen origin, the boy who was in the hands of the empire and in the castle. And then he was brought by the prosecutor of the Senate, Duke Mr. Tolstoy, Samoylov, Alexander Samoylov, who gave this name, Alexander Nikolaevich. Nobody, not many people know about that. And I'd like to wrap up by saying that no separatist wars on the territory of Russia, particularly in the Chechen Republic, I blame such people as myself. I was too young. But the senior people at the time should explain to my people that any rebellion against a great country will end in a blood shed for a small people, a chaos, and the destruction of these people from the ethno-political map. we couldn't explain that to us because the historical pain was felt. Not many things were done not to relieve this pain. To explain to the people that history of bloody wars has staged the heroes and this moment, and those old battles shouldn't be extrapolated to today's dialogue, to today's understanding and perception of what the Russian statehood is, those Highlanders who fought bravely under the leadership of Mansur Sheikh or Imam Shamil. I mean the representative of our ancestors. We are the followers. We are fighting bravely on the Dnieper River, expanding the borders of the Russian world. Thank you very much.
Jambulat Vahidovich.
Jambulat, thank you very much. You remember a great statement and phrase. Talking to some of our speakers, understood. Maybe I perceived you wrong, but you might correct me, that in building the future, apart from major allies, there is one another ally is Islam, traditional Islam, the right Islam. The you know, when I started to ask why the colonizers hate Russia, why they try to segregate and split our territories into 45 independent states, and how it can be prevented, how through ideas, narratives, you remember the Livon War, the Cherkessians of the ancestors of your people, and the Russian-Turkish wars and other events, historical events.
Развернёте тезис?
Can you elaborate on that?
Добрый день, уважаемые коллеги.
Hello, dear colleagues.
Сегодня я могу сказать, что
today I can tell you
сложилась
there is a unique form which is partnership which hasn't been witnessed in the state and church interaction and relations. This relation, I believe that Islam and the renaissance of Islam, the development of Islam, has a unique opportunity. So Kambulat gave us kind of a background. The Muslims in the Russian Federations are the people who lived here from the very beginning. And the second point, never in the territory of the Russian Federation were no religious wars.
Всегда представители разных
representatives of different confessions and religions come to terms with each other. At the same time, our relations have a long period of more than 1,000 years. This is our unique relationship.
На мусульмане, допустим, Северного Кавказа,
Muslims of the Northern Caucasus, they were incorporated in the state power, in the state system. That's what Arthur has mentioned in our relationship. Period of existence. If we look at the Soviet Union, the state regarded the representative of the religions in the same way, but what happened in the Muslim community of the Russian Federation after the Soviet Union collapse? On the one hand, Muslims lacked sufficient number of religiously literate people, had its bad implications. Next point, when we got freedom, we had representatives of Middle East people, Arabs, young people who came to Russia and promised support in renaissance of Islam in the territory of the Russian Federation. That was the biggest mistake. This phenomenon played a catastrophic role in further development, negative development of Islam Renaissance. Why? Because all these movements were politically motivated.
That
was mentioned
in April
2017, Ben Salman, the prince, when he visited Washington, and he was asked a question. What is Wahhabism? Wahhabism. Why did Saudi Arabia finance this movement of Wahhabism, which then, in the territory of the Northern Caucasus, turned into a separatist terrorist movement, and a lot of innocent people died? He said that so-called fighting Wahhabism was created during the period of Cold War. It was a kind of resistance to ever-increasing power of the Soviet Union. And he said that to somehow diminish this rise of the Soviet Union in the Middle East, which we were liberated from the colonial dependence. Remember how it happened. The Soviet Union had particular influence, and this influence was growing. So the religious component received geopolitical narrative, and the Russian land had a flow of those who had no other goal but destroy Russia through the religious mottos and statements. Many things happened. The main drawback of the whole process was that we faced those controversies which had been worked out through centuries and turned out to be unresolved in Arab and Muslim societies. The second thing, as I mentioned, the politically motivated action was not aimed at the traditional perception of religion as a value, as a positive phenomenon, play a positive role. The major scope of activity was aimed at young people, and unfortunately, it had its own implications. Today, unfortunately, we cannot say that the Muslim society of the Russian Federation is monolithic community or society where there is a mutual understanding. Why? As the controversies I've already mentioned haven't been resolved. In 2030, according to the president, we need to recreate and recover Russian Muslim education system, but we haven't managed yet to foster this traditional educational system in all regions of Russia. That is big drawback inside our Muslim community. in terms of the mutual trust and mutual respect. That's why the political motivation also has particular impact. If we resolve this matter, and we are to do that, I have a big willingness to have our Muslim community resolve all these deficiencies and become the backbone of our society and community, that what Alexander has mentioned. So we need to have a stronger backbone of our statehood. When there are problems, we get together, we unite ourselves, and we stand for the interest of our society, we stand for the interest of our homeland, the interest of our motherland. But in civic life, we need to work a lot. Since the challenges are abundant and they are becoming all pervasive, I believe that the Muslim community should reconsider their position and unite and positively contribute to further development of our society in general. Thank you very much for your comment. I have a brief question. I need to moderate another session, if I may. You know, I have just one question to both of you in the context of Westernology and the problem raised by Jambulat. Russia is probably the only state which fought and managed to kill terrorism in the area. Why do Western countries neglect the experience of Russia? I believe that, in fact, Islam is a part of our history. These are not aliens. They are not strangers who migrated to Russia. These are our people, and we have a traditional, specific Islam. And the problems emerge when this traditional Islam was pervaded. So by those who have different historical experience, when we fought that, we didn't succeed, but we understood that it was our segregation, we understood that it was a natural part of our people, and we started to support the traditional Islam. That's when the traditional Islam in the Chechen Republic, in the Northern Caucasus, helped tackle these provocative challenges. If we had acted only through force and hostility, we wouldn't have succeeded. Of course, we need to keep sovereignty of a country, but we turn Muslims of traditional Islam into our people, into part of our common people, our most trusted allies. Thank you. Thank you a lot for your answer. Jambulat, my turn. We managed to destroy terrorism. Mostly because we did it with the help of ideology. We had symbol, we had a leader, we had a person we wanted to follow, whom distinguished Khalid knew, Mr. Kadyrov, the person who was the first to see those poisonous manifestations of these bad people were mostly wanted in more than 53 countries who gave rise to this hostility between the Muslims and the Russians.
I
have a book on this matter, Foreign Channels of Impact Terrorism on Russia in the example of the Northern Caucasus. That was my PhD thesis in political science, where I write about these processes quite comprehensively.
And Ahmad Kadri, during the First War, was one of the persons who were absolutely sure in the correctness and the rightfulness of this Chechen War, were left alone after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And then in the process he understood what it all leads to, all these activities with ambassadors from Turkey and from a number of Arabic countries, from the United States, what kind of terrorist enclave they were willing to create in the Russian Northern Caucasus. And this problem hit not only Chechen peoples. In this turmoil, they tried to drag in the peoples of Northern Ossetia, Kabardina, Bulgaria, Karachay, Cherkess, and Stavropol territory. This work of ISIS prohibited in Russia, this network condition is very smart. It's very smart. It cannot be sold for $200. That's nonsense. They've been sold very expensive. Look at the videos they film. It's like Hollywood. So it's very easy to assume for me where it's all rooted. Just a few months ago, when I was heading the Russian delegation in Afghanistan, and I was meeting spiritual leaders there of Taliban, and I was speaking to them not only in Russian but also in Arab, trying to understand their beliefs. Well, I didn't see there anything that could be terrorist or Salafi or Wahhabi. No, I didn't find it there. Because there, as in our country, there are Sufi orders, tariqats, and Taliban doesn't have anything against them. Like in all other words, they wage the holy war against ISIS banned in Russia. So monitoring this situation, studying its contents and depth, it's not like that. Our leadership came to a conclusion that Taliban is the organization which is able to hold the power in Afghanistan and with which it's possible to build some relations, cultural probably, character, social economic character, or even military and political one. The time will show. Let's speak carefully about that, that period. So Islamic religion, it's not like I want to dispute with the distinguished alim, but we have such notion as traditional Islam or non-traditional Islam. The thing is that Islam is either there or not there. Islam, the other thing is that if we formulate it in a way like this is a traditional Russian organization or movement, religion in Russia, predominantly Northern Caucasus and Volga region, that has been existent for ages in the empire on the territory of the Soviet Union and today's Russian Federation. And I think that when we raise the question of Muslim migrants, it's not the Russian people who should look like xenophobe or chauvinist. We are Russian citizens of Muslim confession, first should reply to the issues, what shall we do with those migrants and how can we deal with them. We should approach them in the streets saying, this is our country. I'm a Muslim like you, but this is my country. And in my country, Russian people live. Russians live here in my country. And Russians who profess Orthodox believes, they have their own merits, their own mentality, and they have own understanding in the picture of the world. And we, today, as their brothers and compatriots, should protect this picture of the world. And we will not allow anybody, neither in our streets, without speaking in Grozny. Even in Moscow, there should be a position that in the mosques, at prayer sessions, if we have an ability to speak to our brothers in faith, we should express our Russian position. Us as Muslim citizens of Russia should first and foremost be at the forefront protecting everybody from intrusions from the outside who violate Russian laws and our understanding about good and evil, those elements that would spoil our life. So I think the so-called migration policy that we discuss a lot today should be involved as maximum scientists, theologists, priests, clergy, representative of culture and business of Muslim origin, who would clearly express the position of Muslims of Russia. And the position of Russian Muslims should be also at the protection of Russian Orthodox. Russian peoples is historically an yielding backbone, thanks to which this great country exists and us Muslim citizens living in this country. Thank you very much, John Bulat. Arkady, coming back to the origins of the Russian statehood and the future of Russia without without national security, it cannot be. And by preparing the book, the school book, obviously you studied the country. And you see, the most probably, the difficult situation? In which regions the level of challenges is a serious obstacle for further development? Where the situation is the most difficult? Thanks for your question. Of course, we didn't put a task for ourselves to see some threats and challenges in special regions. You mean, first of all, the separatism issue, I presume. And after having listened to my colleagues today, I remember there was a big meeting, and I was part of this meeting of Ahmad Haji Kadyrov when he was meeting in the State Duma his compatriots. And I felt the huge, tremendous energy coming from this person. The situation was quite hostile. The public was looking at him, and he looked at the public, and he said the following: "You here, you live here very good. You live wonderful here. Your motherland is destroyed today, and instead of dealing with hatred, you should help your peoples, your nation." And I should say, at that time I understood that this is a great person, very very brave man, and a great person. And developing the ideas of my colleagues, I've never said that publicly, but today I'd like to say that Chechen peoples is a great peoples. We have mentioned historical traumas and historical disasters. These peoples, they survived after this calamity, and now they wage war for Russia. And we cannot forget that. But we can just, these people, they just survived after this illness, if you may call it like that. I don't think that we have peoples or forces that, except for some marginal ones, marginal organizations that could blow up Russia. I don't think that this is a massive, massive notion. We passed this stage. Why? Because we are getting older today. We getting mature from the world view point of view. I remember there were Charlie Hebdo case and all those caricatures. I'm an Orthodox man, but I accept it as a personal insult and personal abuse. If you have nothing holy, this is a holy for us. It's a holy thing for us. It's a sacred for us, no matter what confession we belong to. I think purely in this sense, I don't see the danger. The danger sits in the following, on my opinion. Today, I think are in an interim state of our brains because we lost some milestones. Here I see the danger. Why? Because some part of the society is looking in that way, others look different way. and some of them look into the future. And the greatest danger today is the state of mental uncertainty in Russia. That's the scary thing. If we speak about the sense of spirits, if we look at other challenges, they can be called problems. The most important problem today is to survive and to win. And then afterwards, our Lord gave us a lot of talents, energy, resources, natural resources, and so on and so forth. We should make it all work. And I think that this interim brain state is one danger in the area of our spirits. And the second danger, we remembered Mendeleev today, he was criticizing the socialism, but he criticized more the capitalism. And why? The reason is really simple. For the peaceful time, production of sausages and bicycles, capitalism is very good. But capitalism is not suitable for Russia in the state of war. But the state of war or expectation of war is basically the constant of Russia. So Dmitry Mendeleev said that most probably the Russian society needs something else, something different. Something different, not the capitalism of 1990s, the aftermath of which we experience today. The most dangerous is the philosophy of egoism, of selfishness, and the separation of people. This is the most dangerous thing of capitalism. So here we have two dangers, basically, which exist today. We need to overcome the status of our interim brain process, interim thinking. And the second one, we have to set the record straight as soon as possible with our social project that would unite religions, economics, culture, and spirit. Because all those models obviously won't work out in Russia and will never work. For example, we split gas, oil, plants. What's next? We will just enrich the economies of our countries, but that's not the way we should continue. No. And the fact that we didn't overcome the offshore model of the economy, it's obvious as well. So I think we need to bring back senses to our lives and meanings. And for me, as the public actor, why I introduced the word macro state? Just not to traumatize, not to hurt the society. We can speak about empires in the US, in China, in Russia. The word empire makes a traumatic, not shock, but impact. The macro state, from my point of view, is a softer form to resurrect the idea of empire. And if you may, if Mr. Dugin said that, what author understands of that? Macro state, from my point of view, at this stage, should overcome the classical illness of classical statehood forms, like federation, unitary state, political regimes, and so on. It's rather a synthetic category that can overcome the minuses than pluses of traditional forms of the statehood, to make sure that all efforts of the peoples or powers be channeled to our genial future. And we have a lot of work to do there. And I think we need close collaboration and interaction with our representatives of our traditional religions, traditional confessions, business and government. We need to jointly look for the way out from this world and global deadlock. Thank you, Arkady. The work of our discussion comes to an end. We have two options to finalize it. Each of the distinguished speakers takes 30 seconds for the final speech or just questions from the audience. Questions, please. You're welcome. I really liked the discussion. I like all the speakers. I really appreciate for these interesting topics. I didn't know many things, but myself as a person from the Soviet Union, I got then the second education in the States. I have not a question, but rather a comment, a few words to add. One of the most important allies, apart from the army and the ideology, is academic education that we lost, because we have been educated in a very wide spread of topics. We got trained philosophy, political economy, in economics and technologies and scientific research. Now, everything is very narrow-minded, narrow specialized. When the person has a very narrow thinking, it's very easy to hit them out of the path, and it's very difficult to bring it back on track. The broad education provide critical thinking. I was studying in an institute. I had my mates in the in the hostel from different times. Greece, a girl from Greece, a girl from Chechnya. We had the festivals, international student festivals. We were friendly. The organizers showing time. Unfortunately, I was at the economic education that American global system destroyed, and we have to rebuild it. And the Moscow University is like an alma mater of this education. Thank you for your opinion. If the moderator allows, just 20 seconds. We are almost moved to the Western model of religion. 33% of golden youth get fundamental and others applicable education. We approach this model. And the president, our president, on February 29th last year in his State of the Union, said to bring back the fundamental character to our educational system. And if today the Ministry of Education and other agencies will not work so strongly in this direction, is will can be considered as the direct sabotage of the highest political will of our leader. You're absolutely right. When we bring back the fundamental character of to our education system, we will go away from that interim state. We will have more sense, and I hope colleagues will consider me. Down with the Bologna system. Thank you very much. Finalize our discussion. Thank you very much, dear speakers. We really appreciate that you were part of this discussion and visited us. Thank you.